Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Faster May, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, the 8th of May 2024 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes looking at the latest news on the island. Background to that news with sport, business, travel updates and the newsmakers in person. This evening, public servants must clarify their social media accounts. Air traffic control breaks could be ended by this autumn. Zara Lewin and Fenella Logan elected to chair Onkin commissioners. Treasury's outlined tax and NI positions for TT casual work, and the steam packets agreement needs to be simpler.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastermy, Simon Richardson.
Fastermy, the agreement between government and the steam package should be simpler, according to the Department of Infrastructure. The chief executive has been sharing her views with the Tynwald Committee looking at the company's regulation. Emily Curfey believes it's overly complicated in its current form. Building work on the Isle of Man's dedicated sexual assault referral centre is now underway. The facility will cost £3.3 million and is expected to be open in May next year. The number of residents waiting to be assigned an NHS dentist list has risen above 5,000. The latest figures from Manx Care show there are 5,134 patients waiting for a dentist. And a significant step confirming the island's commitment to nature conservation has been taken with the launch of the first set of biodiversity plans. Further afield, a second Conservative MP switched to Labour in 2 weeks. Natalie Elphick, who represents Dover, says Rishi Sunak's leading a tired and chaotic government. She won't stand for Labour at the next election, but could be given a party role. And Russia's defence attaché is being expelled by the UK government after accusations he's an undeclared military intelligence officer. The Home Secretary says the move's a reaction to the reckless and dangerous activities of the Russian government across Europe. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's private client team. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goramaya, thank you, Simon. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, there's currently no wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea. State of sea is smooth or slight. The weather for this evening, dry and cloudy. Some coastal mist around. A light south-southwesterly will continue dry after dark. Overnight, minimum 10 degrees. For Jourdain, dry with variable cloud, bright intervals and a light southerly. Daylight maximum for Thursday, 16 Celsius, down to 10 through the night. For Jehenia, dry with sunny intervals, a light southeasterly and up to 17 degrees. By the way, this weekend, dry with sunny spells and light breezes. Looking good. Tide still on the way out. Low waters at 11 minutes before 7. The boats, the Manxman is running late tonight because of the low tide. Sunset's 4 minutes past 9. High tide 19 minutes before 1 a.m. Sunrise 24 minutes past 5 a.m. And low water tomorrow morning 2 minutes before 7. No delays at Ronalds Way and the Mountain Road is running clear.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
The Information Commission is urging public servants, such as government ministers, to make it clear whether their social media accounts are personal or affiliated with a public authority. It comes after a Freedom of Information request was submitted asking a government department to provide comments posted by its minister. The story with Sian Cowper.
In July last year, a request was made for copies of posts on X, formerly known as Twitter, by Health Minister Laurie Hooper in relation to a reporter. When the Department of Health and Social Care refused to provide the messages, an internal review was requested before the matter was referred to the Information Commissioner. In his report, Interim Commissioner Stuart Haynes said he considers Mr. Hooper's social media account to be personal, with no evidence of it being issued or jointly managed by the department, and therefore it wouldn't be reasonable to expect the DHSC to conduct a search of the account. The Commissioner did partly uphold the complaint, finding the department failed to respond to the request for an internal review within an appropriate timescale. while and needlessly referred to an exemption that wasn't applied. He also issued guidance to public servants who use social media, advising them to make it clear whether accounts are affiliated or not with a public authority. Mr. Haynes says this should be unambiguous and refrain from using a public authority logo or insignia in line with government's guidelines for use on social media, while also including a disclaimer identifying the account as personal.
Well, they've delayed some flights, caused others to be turned back, but it's hoped air traffic control breaks taken at Ronald's Way will be scrapped by the back end of the summer, according to the airport director. Gary Cobb says currently the runway's closed twice daily due to the number of air traffic controllers they have available.
We're at the point now we're actually going out and recruiting an 18th ATCO. Whilst we've got the budget and we can go and do, the training pipeline would be that they would be sitting around not doing very much because our training pipeline is full. So we'll probably hold off on recruiting the 18th. In terms of how that'll translate into summer, we're hoping that at some point towards the back end of this year, hopefully the back end of summer, we'll be lifting those two breaks in the morning and going to no breaks for ATC. I can't sit there and say that our air traffic control breaks do not have an impact, and it is something that we are working quite hard to resolve. But aviation is safe for the rules that we have to follow. Pilots have mandatory breaks that they need to take. Air traffic control is the same. Some of the rules are even more stringent because of the time taken operationally that they can do. So again, it's something that we are working very hard to resolve. Now, the caveat to that is holding a medical for an ATCO is hard. So should an air traffic controller get ill, that might be a point where we would need to put in more breaks again. Or should somebody resign and take another job in the UK, again, that would have an impact.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
Hong Kong commissioners have elected Zara Lewin to continue as chair, while Fenella Logan takes on the deputy role. A number of other appointments were made last night. Our local democracy reporter Emma Draper was at the meeting in Hong Kong.
Ms. Lewin was nominated alongside Robin Turton for the role of chair, but she was elected by the board 3-1. There were also 2 spoilt ballots. All voting was done anonymously, which the clerk said was within the standing orders. Ms. Logan was elected without contest and is also the representative on the Municipal Association. They spoke to me after the meeting.
Hiya, I'm Zara Lewin and the chair of Hong Kong Commissioners.
Hi, I'm Fenella Logan and I'm the vice chair of Hong Kong Commissioners.
It's really good actually, because it's not that common a thing, but it's good to show that there's always room for improvement, that the members have faith in me, that there is some improvement being made and that I can continue to do so.
And you're the new vice chair of the Commissioners. How do you feel about that?
Happy to support Zara in a role as last year now as well, so nice to move into a different role that I haven't yet done. Yeah, happy with it. I think it would be useful if other people were nominated. I don't think it's very good to complain about those that have been nominated but not actually willing to put forward someone else, because if we need to fill these roles and if there's no one else willing to do it, then what's the options? And yeah, I would prefer to see action rather than just passiveness.
Commissioner Anthony Allen made a statement saying he would encourage those taking on roles to act with the best interests of Hong Kong. He was chosen by the board to be the Hong Kong Schools Education Representative, as well as the lead member for Finance and General Purposes. Commissioner David Quirk was also appointed as lead member for Environmental and Technical Services and will be the Commissioner's representative on the Eastern Civic Community Sites Joint Committee. Catherine Williams is the new lead member for Housing and did declare her interest to the board that she is a tenant.
Help is at hand if you're looking to take up secondary employment, temporary or casual work, especially during the TT Festival. So says the Treasury, which has outlined the position with regard to income tax and national insurance. Simon's back with the full detail.
Students who are thinking of working over TT or the summer with a total income in the tax year that's likely to be less than a single person's allowance should contact the Income Tax Division. If they meet the required criteria, they could be paid without any deduction of income tax. The Tax Department says it receives lots of queries about income tax and NI on temporary, casual and second jobs. The rate of tax deducted is usually dependent on how much income they have from other sources. For many people, their income before taking on the additional employment will incorporate all of the personal allowance and 10% tax band, meaning the income tax on the second job will automatically be deducted at 22%. However, where this isn't the case, any unused personal allowance or 10% tax band can be utilised in their second job. Anyone who takes up a second job should contact the Income Tax Division as soon as possible to have their tax code recalculated based on their individual circumstances.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
News of the boats. The motor vessel Manxman departed Heysham at 4:15. She won't be into Douglas until about 7:30, maybe just slightly before 7:30, departing this evening at 9:15, getting to Heysham at 1:00, and departing at 1:30, they hope, heading to Douglas and getting here at about 5:15. The fast craft left Douglas at just gone 3:30 and will be into Liverpool in the next half hour or so onto the link span, departing the pierhead by the Liver building at 7:15, into Douglas at 10 tonight. Tomorrow morning's departures, the Fastcraft Mananan departs Douglas at 7:15 for Liverpool, and the Manxman heads from Douglas to Heysham at 8:00. No one has reported Isle of Man Energy to the police for claiming their gas supply has been terminated illegally. The Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, was questioned by Douglas Central MHK, Chris Thomas, in the House of Keys.
Following review of relevant records across multiple systems, the analyst team in the Isle of Man Constabulary has confirmed that there is no recorded data in relation to the type of complaint referenced by the Honourable Member, and thus no record of any such complaints having been received by the Isle of Man Constabulary.
How does the Minister understand then why we went to all this trouble to amend primary legislation and to make this order and it all resulted in nothing? Is the Minister going to argue it's some sort of nuclear deterrence, or would the Minister now like to say that in actual fact Isle of Man Energy has bent over backwards to help people with payment terms so that they weren't disconnected over the course of this winter?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I mean, the first question was for factual information. The second question is asking for my opinion. I think I would point to the conclusion of this House on the 19th of December 2023 and to the vote in February 2024 in relation to the relevant order. I think it was clear at the time it was a backstop provision. I've noted that it was only in January, I seem to recall, that the voluntary commitment from Isle of Man Energy came forward. I think it's better to have protection in place, and I'm glad that there haven't been complaints coming forward.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
Fast of my, it's 18 minutes before 6. The Wood Group surged today after saying it had rejected a 205p per share takeover proposal from Dubai-based engineering and consulting group Sadara, valuing it, Wood that is, at more than £1.4 billion. Responding to press speculation, Wood Group said the proposal was received on the 30th of April and their board had carefully considered the proposal together with financial advisors and concluded it fundamentally undervalued Wood and its future prospects. Accordingly, the board rejected the proposal unanimously on the 8th of May. That's today. And for a full daily market report, go to RamseyCrookall.com. Global trade growth is set to rebound sharply this year, according to forecasts from the OECD, the International Monetary Fund, and the World Trade Organization. Financial Times reported today that trade in goods and services is expected to rise by 2.3% in 2024 and 3.3% in 2025, driven by easing inflation, strong US economic growth, and increased activity in China and East Asia. The upticks also boosted growth in major EU economies in the first quarter. However, trade growth is not expected to reach pre-pandemic levels as geopolitical tensions, regional conflicts, and economic uncertainty pose risks.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed higher as investors digested more earnings reports in the region. The dollar gained, oil fell after market sources said the data from the American Petroleum Institute showed an increase in US crude and fuel stockpiles, an indicator of weak demand, and gold dipped slightly as a stronger dollar weighed on prices. The numbers from Ramsey Crookall. At the close in London, the FTSE 100 was up 0.5% at 8,354. The DAX in Germany, in Frankfurt, up 0.33% at 18,488. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up 0.2%, 38,956. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index down 0.25% at 16,289. And in the Midwest, in Chicago, the S&P 500 down fractionally, almost 0.1% at 5,183. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling is trading at $1.25, €1, 16.2 cents, and 23 South African rand, 21.5 cents. In commodities, gold's up 0.25%, currently $2,319 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude up 0.9% at $83.67.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
Oh, no, of course not. 5 p.m., is it?
3:15.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Almost £500,000 of overpayments have been made to public sector workers in the last 2 years. The Douglas North MHK John Wallenberg questioned Cabinet Minister Kate Lord Brennan MHK on the issue in the House of Keys.
In the last year, we've had over 250 people allegedly added to the headcount. And now we hear of systemic overpayment. The public purse is vulnerable, and it is my opinion that at best this is negligence, at worst this is a dereliction of duty. Either way, it is breathtakingly incompetent. Will the Minister agree with those comments?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to agree with those comments. I think that government headcount does need to be considered. I think that accounting officers within departments, those within statutory boards, absolutely should be considering every new job that is created. But I think in further analysis of jobs that have been filled over the past couple of years, a lot of those will stand to be in healthcare and education, actually, and they're in some areas where people want and need services to be required. I do think that where there are errors and issues, they need to be corrected and handled at the earliest stage. And where there are those things brought forward, the point is they should be handled and raised with the relevant accounting officer. Those officers, they have responsibilities as part of their jobs. That's not my role as Cabinet Office Minister. And actually, if people are not getting assistance via those routes, then there are routes via the Office of Human Resources. And indeed, the Honourable Questioner will be aware that a meeting has been raised for this particular, for certainly one of the constituent queries that he has had on this. These matters should be resolved, but also the responsibilities need to be viewed and carried out at the right levels. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Manx Radio Sport.
Pastor Mai, sports editor Rob Pritchard.
Pastor Mai, good evening. Starting with football, and Foxtail have gone top of DPS Limited Division 2 after a 3-0 win against previous leaders Onken in a big title race showdown in Isle of Man football last night. Foxtail now lead the O's by 1 point and with a game in hand with just a couple of fixtures to go. Both sides are already confirmed to be getting promoted at the end of the season. Elsewhere on Tuesday evening, Moran were relegated from the top flight after a 4-2 away loss at St Mary's, while St George's dramatically avoided the drop by beating St John's United 2-0. At the summit of the Premier League, Ayr United closed the gap to leaders Peel to just 3 points after a comprehensive 4-0 win at Ramsey. Ayr United still have 2 games in hand on Peel, who have now completed all their league commitments for the season. Tonight there are 6 matches taking place across the 2 combination leagues, due to get underway at 6:30 p.m. In motorsport, Michael Dunlop is set to ride for the Hawk Racing team once again at this year's Isle of Man TT races. The 25-time TT winner will race for the crew in the Superbike and Senior classes on Honda Fireblade machinery on the Snaefell Mountain course from later this month. In 2023 with the team, Dunlop took victory in the Superbike TT. Meanwhile, a large contingent of TT competitors have been involved in the first day of practice at this year's Northwest 200 today. Davey Todd topped the Superstock class ahead of Dean Harrison in second and Michael Dunlop in third. Todd also finished second in the Superbike and Supersport classes behind Glenn Irwin and Richard Cooper respectively. And finally, in cycling, Mark Cavendish has secured a top 10 finish at today's opening stage of the Tour de Hongrie. The 38-year-old finished sixth and was Astana Kazakhstan's highest finisher. It's also the Manx Missile's highest individual stage finish since a win and a third place podium at the Tour of Colombia in February. Tomorrow's second stage will get underway at around 11:40 a.m. UK time.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
And next inbound at Rundle's Way, the 6:30 EasyJet from Belfast International, the 7:25 Loganair from Edinburgh, 7:35 EasyJet from Gatwick, the 7:55 Loganair from Liverpool, and then the 10:09 Loganair from London City. They're all showing on time. Outbound, next it's the 6 o'clock, Loganair to Liverpool, 7 o'clock, EasyJet return to Belfast International, the 7:55, Loganair to Edinburgh, and the 5 past 8, EasyJet return to London Gatwick. On the roads, temporary lights on the main road between St John's and Ballylease Bridge, they're working on the pavements, and three-way lights on the TT course and the Portown Road junction at Belig Bridge for bridge painting. Look out in Sandygate, on the Sandygate Road for temporary lights, working on the pavements. And temporary lights in Braddon on Vicarage Road. Yes, they're still there. That's in Stevenson's Way roundabout for water main replacement. In Farm Hill, lights at Belafton Manor Hill on the Cool Ferran Junction for resurfacing. face closures at Ballykill Ferry Road in Colby for water main work, and Starby Road's got water main work, two face closures there. Kindrockard Road in Andrus, same thing, water main work. Temporary lights on Church Road, Port Erin for patching work near Russian Church. In Douglas, the Millennium Bridge is closed tonight between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. for replacement repairs and maintenance. Hillside Avenue is closed through to Circular Road for window replacement. Part of Switzerland Road's closed for construction work till November. Temporary light in Laxey on New Road near Lurgy Graw for building alteration. Croity Quill Road, Laxey, is closed for gas upgrades. And temporary lights on New Road, Laxey, for building alterations. The Matrix signs showing no problem on the Mountain Road, although there is some swirling mist around.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside.
The agreement between government and the steam packet should be simpler, according to the Department of Infrastructure. The chief exec's been sharing her views with a Timble committee looking at the company regulation. Emily Kerfey told one of the members, Michelle Haywood MHK from Russian, things have changed since it was first drafted.
I think we have to cast our minds back to when the sea services agreement was initially, or this iteration of it was formed. At that point, the steam packet wasn't part of government, wasn't linked to government, it was a completely separate entity, and I think probably rightly so at the time. They have prepared a document that is, in my view, very complicated. It's quite difficult for us to make our way through it. It's not clear, even simple things like when the strategic review date is, it's very difficult to work that out at times. So I think if I had a magic wand, I would probably make it a simpler, more user-friendly document, clearer for us to understand, clearer for the public to understand, clearer for our colleagues in the steam packet to understand as well, because it is quite complicated. It's a very legal document. I'm not criticising, you know, former colleagues in terms of why that is the case, because I think at the time it was probably necessary. However, now that the steam packet is within government's ownership, it could be a slightly simpler, more easy.
There seems a strain with disconnect, doesn't it? Change entirely the ownership model, but don't actually change the agreement that you're working with.
We need to retain some level of agreement in case anything changes in the future. We need to have an agreement, but I don't think it needs to be as complex potentially as this one is.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wint.
Faster by, expert witnesses have been giving evidence in the House of Keys as the debate over assisted dying continues. Charles Foster, you'll hear, specialist in medical law, and Dr. Jackie Davis represents health workers in the Dignity in Dying campaign.
We haven't done it very satisfactorily. We've seen in all the jurisdictions that have assisted dying regimes slippery slopes, and those slippery slopes have led to people who feel that they are a burden seeking assisted dying, people who want therefore to stay alive seeking assisted dying but feeling that they have a duty not to. And we've seen the reporting requirements, which are designed to ensure that the regimes work in the way that they should work, simply not functioning. So we've really no reason to think that there are workable assisted dying regimes.
The vast majority of patients think that assisted dying legislation would improve the doctor-patient relationship. There was no talk about being fearful about your doctor. It was, we can have better conversations at the end of life if this legislation is in place. And I can tell you, I have seen patients in situations that I would not want my family to be in, I would not want to be in myself, and that is despite the use of the best possible palliative care. There'll never be no need for palliative care, and it will get better and better, but there's still that small residue of patients who will die in pain, who will die in suffering. And I bet everybody in this room knows somebody that has happened to. One bad death is one bad death too many when we can prevent it, because that's suffering. And if you have legislation, no more people will die, but fewer people will suffer. And I put it to you, that is the most compassionate way to look at this.
If you're an Update podcast listener anywhere in the world at any time of day or night, thank you for making Update the Isle of Man's most subscribed to news podcast. Update and Manx Radio's other 80 series of podcasts are available at manxradio.com via Apple Podcasts or your usual podcast provider. Be sure to subscribe and Update will appear automatically. The Manx Deaf Society is hosting a number of sessions this weekend to make Deaf Awareness Week. Lucy Buxton is the chief exec of the charity and says learning basic skills can make a huge difference in bridging the gap.
The overall message of Deaf Awareness Week, as it's organised in the UK, is looking at making things accessible, especially for children. Here on the island, we have a small number of sign language users, but we have a much higher proportion of people with hearing loss. So what we are trying to do is a raise awareness of all levels of hearing loss and deafness amongst the population here on the island. Hearing loss is one of those hidden disabilities. I had a chat with some people in my lip reading class yesterday about hearing loss, whether it's an impairment, disability, how they like to describe themselves. And we came to the conclusion that generally, because it isn't as visible as some other disabilities, it's often overlooked. And even when people understand that you have a hearing loss, because you've explained that, they don't truly understand how much it impacts and affects your day-to-day life. So Saturday, 11th of May, we are running 3 sessions at the Deaf Society, and those sessions will be a combination of some sign language, so you'll certainly learn the manual alphabet, the fingerspelling alphabet, and some simple greetings, but it will also include a little bit of lip reading, so you'll understand what it's like for someone who relies on lip reading to follow conversation, and there will be some deaf awareness mixed in with that as well.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Simon Richardson, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6 o'clock, the arts programme, Spotlight with Howie Kane. Simon Clark's here with the greatest hits at 6.30. Ernie Thorne with the Opera Hour at 9, and Update returns tomorrow evening, Thursday evening at 5.30. WINT.